It is such an honor to be back one more time to Alabaster Church of God. Now, you could have changed your name. I don't know. Is it still called Alabaster Church of God? Or because I don't want to mess it up, because I've been gotten on to before, because I didn't call it by the right, I mean other churches. So it's so good. I've been here many, many times, and I've never come here that I didn't have a good time in the Lord. Now, what I mean by that, I come here and you worship. You're worshiping people. I mean, you don't have to pull it out of you. It just comes out of you. And that's a compliment to you, because that is the thing that will get your cancer to dry up. That's the thing that will open up that artery behind your heart where the doctor's afraid to operate. Now, I love good singing, and I love to hear good preaching. But honest before God, I've seen more healings through worship than I have in any singing or any preaching. I've seen people come to the Lord because of preaching. I've seen a lot of things happen because of music. But most healings come through worship. I don't know why. It's His business. It's not mine. And I think this is the reason why it happens. See, He ain't going to get nothing out of what I'm fixing to do. He wrote the book. When is God's will, can I tell Him? He's probably fixing to go get a cup of coffee and tune me out for the next few minutes. That singing there, you think He enjoyed that? He probably put His earplugs in. Why would He enjoy it? He's got angels that sing to Him around the clock. And I guarantee you, they're kind of hand-picked. Angelic voices. So no matter how good we are, how good you are, how well you think you are, whatever, it doesn't impress Him. But there's one thing that gets His attention, and it gets His attention in a hurry. It's called worship. I said, call worship, because that's the only thing He gets out of a service. I said, that's the only thing. The rest of it's about us. I said, the rest about what's going to happen to us. But when we holler, hallelujah, when we holler, hallelujah, when we holler, praise Your lovely name, when somebody says, glory to Your wonderful name, hey, all of a sudden, He pulls the earplugs out. He leans off over toward heaven. He listens. He goes to his father and says, hey, Dad, I want you to do something for those people this morning, because listen at them. They're worshiping Me. They're praising Me. They're magnifying. Oh, yeah, Lord, that lady down there that's going for surgery in the next day or two, God, I want You to be there before the physician lays a hand on her. And I want, Lord, preacher, you believe in that stuff? If I didn't believe in it, my friend, I'd have quit a long time ago. I said, you got to believe in something to do it for 45 years. You've got to believe that something works or you can't do it. There's not enough money in it. There's not enough whatever in it, honey, but if you believe it, see, that's what messes you up. If you've ever seen one miracle in your, I didn't say two. I said, if you've ever seen one miracle in your life, it'll mess you up, because you know then that it's possible. I said, you know that all things are possible. What? You see one miracle. I've been blessed to see a few, but I've never seen but one. I'm already messed up. There is a God somewhere. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me say to my good buddy, Brother Stroop and Sister Frieda, we love them. We've been friends, as he said, chased each other once around the States many, many years. And the day he called me or talked to me somewhere, was at a hospital, told me he might be thinking about going to pastoring. I looked at him. I said, Stroop, have you lost your mind? I just asked him, he said, well, I may have, but praise the Lord. He said, I'm praying about it. I, honest to goodness, did not think he would do it, because he'd evangelized so many years, made so many friends across this state and throughout the South. But he did, and what is good about it, looked like he's doing great. And I know you love him. Give him a big hand. I said, give him a big hand. And they say behind every good man, there's a good woman. So you know that clues Frieda, don't you? But I always throw that. Go ahead, give her a big hand. Give her a big hand. And while you're at it, my wife is sitting right beside her. Give her a big hand for being here this morning. Of course, she's with me most all the time, but give her a good hand for being here. Thank you very much. But I've always thrown this in. If behind every good man is a good woman, then if a man, behind every bad man, you may as well say it's a bad woman. Praise the Lord. I mean, if we're going to give them the glory, let's give that a shot too. But truth is, Jesus is about to return, folks. I mean, I'm not up here funning you now. We're nearer home than we were yesterday. I said, we're nearer home than we were yesterday. One man told me earlier this year I needed to shut my stupid mouth. Well, he didn't put it that way. He said, you need to shut your foolish mouth. He said, you're scaring people to death, telling them that Jesus is coming soon. I don't really understand that, and I don't relate to it. Because if you, and this man that told me that is a professing Christian of another faith, but still a professing Christian. And all he done was made a little statement. We was in Jack's Hamburgers, and a TV was on behind us, and something was said about Syria. And when this guy said, that's bad about what's going on in Syria, and I did the same thing Brother Stroop would have done, you guys would have done. I did the same thing that anybody else would have done. You know, that believes in the coming of the Lord. When he said, that's bad what's going on in Syria, I was eating a biscuit there with some of the rest of them. They had a round table full of people. I said, yeah, it's just another sign that Jesus is coming. I mean, it just come off the tip of my tongue. It wasn't no big statement. It wasn't anything I meant to make. It just comes off the tip of your tongue when you hear these things. Oh, in a minute, this man said to me, he said, what did you say? And I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about, pal. I've been said a lot of things. Second or two later, he said, I want to know what you said. And I really, honest before God, I wasn't acting ignorant. I just didn't know what he was talking about. He asked me about three or four times, what did you say? And each time, his voice is getting a little rougher. And he's a friend, man. I said, he's been a friend. And all of a sudden, he said, I want to know what you said a while ago. I said, pal, if you will help me out a little bit, I'll be glad to tell you what I said. He said, you know what you said about Jesus? I said, oh, yeah. I said, that's just another sign. Jesus is coming back. The next words that come out of his mouth, he said, you need to shut your foolish mouth. Said, you're scaring people to death, telling them something. I looked at him. I said, man, you don't believe it? I said, I thought you believed it. You told me you was a Christian. We all Christian. I said, don't you believe it? Oh, yeah, it might happen. But if it does, it'll be 200 or 300 years from now. Who are you going to believe, folks? I said, who are you going to believe? Who are you going to put your trust in? He said, it might happen. But if it does happen, it'll be 200 or 300 years from now. This world cannot stand as it is. Another 200 or 300 years, it cannot make it. It's like where I am headed when I leave here today. When I leave here today, I'm leaving here for Jacksonville, Florida. And the reason I'm going to Florida, I wanted to be here tonight. I wanted to be here better. I wanted to be here worse than you wanted me to be here. I just wanted to come back tonight. I really did. But I cannot because I've got to be in Jacksonville, Florida, for my one sister is having major surgery tomorrow. And this is what her daughter told me, and I'm just going to drop it on you. Her daughter dropped it on me and said, I said, are you sure now? Because three times she's already been to Mayo Clinic, and they sent her back home because she just wasn't able for the surgery. She's lost about 130 pounds. She's about that big around. She's on a feeding tube and a lot of bad stuff going on. But anyway, to make a long story short, her daughter told me yesterday, I said, now, are you sure that she's going to be operated on Monday? Because I don't have time to come to Jacksonville, but I am going to come to Jacksonville if she's being operated on, and I will be there. She said, Uncle Stanley, all I can tell you, they said, unless we can do it now, it will be a year before we can get her back on the roster, because that's how many people behind. And said, it's going to be Monday. Said her breathing is bad. Said her heartbeat is down to 40. But said, we've got this weekend to try to get her blood pressure up. We're going to try to get her heart rate up this weekend. But we will do surgery tomorrow. And I said, well, do they have to do it? She said, the doctor said she won't last a year, the shape she's in. She won't last another year the way she's praying. That's the same way this whole world is. We don't want to face it. We don't want to admit it. We don't want to say, we don't want to stick our head in the sand, and we want to play like everything is okay. But friend, the bottom line, everything is not okay. Our world is in a mess. America is in a mess. Our churches are in a mess. Statistics say that 2,500 churches are closing down every day. Statistics say that the same amount of preachers are going out of the ministry every day. Instead, we ought to have 2,500 more churches going up every day. We ought to have 2,500 more preachers out there preaching every day, but it's going downhill. Why is it going downhill? Because churches are going down, because people are quitting going to church. I mean, people are stopping because the Bible said in the last days there would be a great falling away. That's why churches are closing down. People are staying home. People find other things to do. They find other places to go. Church don't seem to be so important, but you better hear this, preacher. You better find your trail back to church. I said, you better find your path back to church. I said, you better find your way back to church. I I don't care if your pew's still full. I don't care if somebody took your seat over. You better find your way back to the house of Almighty God, because it's no time to be falling away. It's time to be digging in. I said it's no time to be running backward. It's time to be going forward. It is no time to be discouraged. It is time to get encouraged. It is no time to look at somebody and say, I don't know what we're going to do. You're going to look at somebody and say, I can tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have an old-time Pentecostal Holy Ghost, devil chasing, sin killing, foot stomping, hand clapping move of God. Not just in revival. We're going to have it every Sunday morning. We're going to have it every Sunday night. Why on Wednesday night when we come together, if the Holy Ghost wants to break out, we want him to break out. We want God to move like he's never moved before. When somebody shout, hallelujah. Jeremiah 8:20 says this. And something I forgot to say. But anyway, please pray for my sister. Okay, how many will do that for me? Let me see your hand. You'll pray for him. I've got a lot of other things to pray for. I was on the phone with a man yesterday, and I got another phone come in where a man mashed two toes off with his motor home, and one of the jacks slid off, and it cut his big toe and the one next to it off. And he's a good Church of Christ man, and I don't know why Stroop, he will do this. He just won't hardly talk to anybody, but he will call me. And the reason that he would call me, he likes singing. It's not because he likes me, better preacher, but he likes singing. And he kind of enjoys some of the songs we do. So he will call me. And they call me and I said, would you please pray for James Chambers? He's in the state of Florida. Would you please pray for my buddy right here, John Majors? He's got surgery facing him. A lot of things are going on. So please pray for all these good folks. I could thank you for the offering. Thank you so much. It'll help us go to Florida, and we're taking off this week. So thank you so much for what you give today. Jeremiah 8:20, a scripture that you all have read many times, and you may go to sleep on it, but let me read it one more time. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. I'm going to talk for just a few minutes, kind of like I was brought up. A little bit of it will fit the way I was raised. You see, there was a time when husbands literally prayed for their lost wives. The Bible said there's a time and a place for all things. Just like, I hear that train a-coming. It's a-coming on down the line. I ain't seen the sunshine. I don't know when. May as well sing while it gets by. But the Bible said there's a time and a place for all things. There's a time to laugh. Laughter worketh good like a medicine. I said it worketh good like a medicine. I said, it worketh good like a medicine. There's a time to rejoice. Not with just yourself, but with others. I don't have time to go into all. I'll just go to the one I'm preaching on. But the Bible also said there's a time to weep. I said, there's a time to weep. I said, there's a time to weep. And listen to me. If there's ever been a time to weep, we are living in a time to cry. I said, we are living in a time to cry. Why do you say that, preacher? For there was a time when husbands would pray for their lost wives. And they didn't pray, they prayed. And there was a time when wives prayed for their lost husbands. And it goes a little deeper. There has been a time when both parents, I said there had been a time when both parents wept before God for their lost children. Now the attitude is they know what's right and wrong. It's up to them. They know what's right and wrong. It's up to them. When I made that statement there, there was a time when both parents would weep before God for their lost children. 2 weeks ago, I guess it wasn't. It might have been last week. I can't remember. No, 2 weeks ago, I saw that happen. And it was my wife that was doing the weeping. She wasn't weeping over my grandchildren. Thank God my grandchildren are saved. Thank God my one child, my son, is saved. My daughter-in-law is saved. Thank God my brothers are saved. My sister that's going through the surgery is saved. And I could go on and on. We're a blessed bunch. We're a blessed family. We've been blessed, and we know that. Not anything that anybody done. God just blessed us. God has been good. Why? Because might have been the way we were brought up. Because I was brought up where Daddy prayed for his boys. I was prayed up where Daddy and Mama both got together, and you could hear them praying. Their bedroom was on one end of the hall. Our bedroom was on the other end of the hall, and they would pray like this: Lord, save my boys no matter what it takes. Now, folks, that's not no easy prayer to go to sleep on. That's not no easy prayer, because that means anything can happen. We got more knowledgeable as time went on, and people started saying, we shouldn't pray that way anymore. That's not a good way to pray. That could affect a child. That could affect them. It could emotionally affect them. Well, honey, if we don't go back to crying, if we don't go back to praying, the world is tearing them apart. I said, Satan is tearing your babies apart. I said, Satan is destroying your children. That Satan is destroying your grandchildren. You tell me emotionally I might be hurting somebody by telling you to tell them to pray for them. No matter what it takes, isn't it better for them to spend a few sleepless nights than it is to burn in a devil's hell because mama and daddy is somewhere praying and crying out to Almighty God for their soul? My daddy couldn't give me a car when I was 16. My daddy wasn't able to give us a whole lot. He worked. But you got a house full of kids. Sometimes you just give them what you can give them. But the one thing he did give us, he told me it the night I got married. The night I got married, my daddy looked at the preacher that performed the ceremony. And he looked at him and he said, now listen, I've kept Stanley in church all these years, and I expect you to do the same now. Man, my daddy was a big man. My dad was faster with a belt coming off than Wyatt Earp was withdrawing a gun. You might try to run, but that belt reached out there and get you. And you knew you didn't try to run because you knew if you did run, it was twice as bad. So for it's got lying parents to tell you, hey, I'm going to ground you. I'm going to take you off a chocolate cake and make you eat coconut. Hallelujah. I'm going to take that candy bar away from you, and I'm going to give you a sucker. Hey, I want to tell you, that's the day we are living in. But the bottom line is this. My daddy told that preacher, said, I've kept standing in church all these years. I expect you. Honey, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. Hey, that was my life. Because back then, we didn't see how much church we could get out of. That people seen how much church they could get into. I said, back then, they weren't trying to see how many church doors they could close. They were trying to see how many services they could have. Don't shout me down, as Chris would say. My buddy back here asked me about Chris. Hey, Brother Ralph. Hey, old Chris was saying, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Today, everywhere I go, my God, I say everywhere, many places I go, they'll have church on Sunday night, but it's simply because I'm there in revival. They usually don't have it anymore. Why? They say, well, it just takes too much time. People need more time. What for? The more leisure time that you have today is the more opportunity that Satan has to come to your door and to steal you from God. God, and to steal your children and to steal your family, the thing that means more to you than anything on the face of this earth. Amen. I looked at my dad, and first time I had ever, are you listening to me, Brother Lombard? I said, the first time that I had ever talked back to my daddy in all my life, I looked at my dad and I said, Daddy, yeah, you did. You made me go to church all those years, but I'm not going anymore. I've had it up to here. No more church. That's the one time he should have pulled that belt off, even though I just got married. But instead, my daddy broke down. My dad wasn't a weeper, but he broke down and he wept. He said, son, I didn't make you go to church all those years to hurt you. He said, I couldn't give you much of anything, but said Jesus was what I had to give you. Said, I had Jesus, and said, that's what I had to give you. Look at me, my friend, and you young people, look at me. If your parents can give you a new car, you take that thing. If your parents can dress you in fine clothes, you wear them clothes. But you might have some parents that don't have the finances. But if they try to give you Jesus, why don't you take them up on their offer? Because I want to tell you, Jesus is worth more than a new car. I said, Jesus is worth more than nice clothes. I said, Jesus is worth more than anything the devil's got to offer. Somebody shout amen. Hallelujah. But I heard my wife weep like a baby in revival. And she was weeping over nieces and nephews. She was up front helping me pray with people, a bunch of people up praying, some of you here today. But she just broke out and went to weeping. I didn't know why she was crying like she was. But it's what I said that night, I guess. But she was crying so hard she couldn't stop crying. Say, preacher, you can weep all you want to, but these stubborn, hard-headed teenagers today, they're not going to listen to you. No, they won't. But that weeping is not for them. I said that weeping is to touch the throne room of Almighty God, and God can deal with your hard-headed teenager. I said God can deal with your 13 and 14 and 15-year-old teenager that you can't deal with, even somebody almost afraid of them. My God, some of them let you talk to them like your dogs, honey. Jesus can deal with that boy. I said, Jesus can deal with that girl and do something that no man can do. How about a shout hallelujah? I said, Jesus can do something. I know it's hard to deal with teenagers today. And I tell you why it is so hard to deal with teenagers. It's because of the school system. And I'm sorry, teachers, if you're here today, but it may not be your fault, but the school system today, my God, is teaching stuff that you and I don't even know about. They're telling stuff that you and I never even dreamed about. The situation is out of hand. And when they come home, they think you're a bunch of old fogies if you ain't but 40 years old and you don't know nothing. But when you weep before the throne room of God, my God is more than able. I said, my God is more than able to reach down into your home. And the Lord God formed a man out of the dust of the ground, and to breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. If we live till August the 26th of next year, Nita and I will have been married 50 years. Man, I don't feel that old. I just don't feel that way. 50 years. So what are y'all going to do on your 50th wedding anniversary? Have no clue. We might go to heaven for it. I said, we could go to heaven. A trumpet could sound so loud at the wake of the dead. And what better anniversary present could you have than to walk through gates of pearl? Say, oh, look down at the floor and see streets of gold. Look at the wall and you see walls of jasper. Look down the middle of it, you see a river. Look on both sides of it, you see trees. And those trees means there won't never be another cancer. There'll never be another disease. There'll never be another sickness. There'll never be another Mayo Clinic where I'm headed to. There'll never be none of these things. Why? Because it's stands for the healing of the people. What do you mean? I'm telling you, there will be no sickness after this life. I said, after this life, there will be no more sickness. Somebody shout hallelujah. But he said, and then God gave a man a helpmate. Mine is called Nita Carroll. Owen is me. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. Those of you that claim to your parents more than you do to your husband, stop it. And vice versa. If you can't go home without stopping at your mother's first, that makes him feel pretty bad. Okay, Chris, what'd you say? Don't shout me down while you're preaching good. I hit a sore spot there. Let me back off. I wish I had time. I'd dig into that one. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. You know, according to that, Brother Struten, I'd give it to you because you're one of the smartest dudes I know. But when he said, and replenish the earth, it sounded to me one time before. It sounded to me like one time before there was something here. Because he told man, woman, go out and replenish. I said, replenish the earth. Instead of replenishing nowadays, what are we doing? My God, we're taking the lives of little babies. We're doing everything we can to cut life's our family sizes shorter and shorter. Honey, there's nothing wrong with six children. There's nothing wrong with having six. I was brought up that way. I know people that had 16 and 17 brothers and sisters. Had nothing wrong with it. But, oh, everything's trying to work it down. Have you a little boy and have you a little girl. But what you don't know is this. The population's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Why? Because the reproductive that God planned, my friend, it's turned upon us. Everything's turned upon us. By God, science is turned upon us. The White House is turned upon us, but God's house has a turn. I said, God's house, somebody shout, God help us, God help us. And he blessed them and he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. So when God placed the reproductive organs in a man and a woman, said replenish the earth, he was talking about the marriage, the family, the children. Repeat after me, say, the family, the children, the marriage is ordained of God. That's why there was a convulsion in heaven not long ago. When the Supreme Court of our land said it's okay. I just can't imagine a man kissing another man in the mouth. And if somebody here is guilty of it today, I still can't imagine it. Bible says, smite your brother with a holy kiss. And I remember as a small boy, I told you I'd bring a little bit in. I remember as a small boy, I actually seen that happen quite a few times in the church where I was brought up at. The men would just smack. And my God, some of them had onion breasts so bad, I don't know how only a man could take it. I said, only a man could take it. A lady would say, hon, I don't care how good looking you are. You're going to have to do something about that because it ain't going to work. But they actually did that back when I was a boy. Hey, it wasn't nothing to it. But you don't do that no more. And the reason you don't do that no more is because of the homosexuality thing that we have today. Friend, it's almost got to the place we don't even handshake hardly anymore. It's almost got to the place that we kind of shy back. And I go into churches now, and it's kind of funny, but I do understand this. I go into churches now where they got hand cleaners before you come in the door. They got wipes just like you go to Walmart. They got everything on the sun. Why? Because we don't believe we got enough power to see anybody healed anymore, so we got to keep our hands clean. We got to just stay washed up real good. Shake hands with somebody, run back there and get your wrap. Wrap somebody, run back. Honey, why don't you one time in your life, the rapture's about to take place, Jesus is about to appear. Why don't you enjoy serving God for just a few minutes? I said, why don't you enjoy one another for just a few minutes? Somebody like that. I'm skipping a bunch of this because I don't have time for it. The marriage is called, what did we say? We joined here together today in the state of holy matrimony. Anybody wants to get married real quick? Like I can quote that one, boy. I've done that one enough. I can do that one. He said, holy. Now, you heard me say we've been married 49 years. And if you're sitting there thinking, boy, it must be nice to be married to a preacher. Preachers get frustrated just like you other guys do. Preachers have ugly dispositions sometimes, just like your husband do. There's absolutely nothing super duper whooper whopper about a preacher. The super whooper whooper dopper is the word that we carry. I said it's the word that we carry. I said it's the word that we carry. That is what super duper whooper whopper. We've had our ups and we've had our downs. She's been right most of the time. I've been right a few times. I don't mind saying I'm sorry. She's got this attitude. If I ever am sorry, I'll tell you. She learned that from another friend of mine, B.A. Brown. But the bottom line, up this mountain, down the other side, good times and bad times, the years just ticked away. I said they ticked away. We had broken hearts. We had heavy hearts. We had lonely hearts. We had hard times. We had bad times. But we've had a lot of good times. It's called holy matrimony. In other words, don't throw your marriage away just because he come in and looked at you a little funny or she looked at you just a little funny. It is called holy. And this thing of getting married and it lasting for about 2 months, it is not of God. Your marriage was about as holy as a toad frog. I want to tell you something, friend. What God has put together, I said what God has put together, not what a preacher put together, not what a man put together, but what God has put together. How about I say what God had put together? You know, I've learned to accept that everybody don't like what I say. I went to a beauty shop day before yesterday. Not for that reason. My wife was getting her hair fixed to go to Florida. No, she wasn't. She's doing it for y'all. And the lady was doing her hair. She loves that song, Lily of My Valley. She could never come to our revivals because the way she had to, she owns the shop. Got about six ladies working for her. Pretty busy place. I said, one of these days I'm going to bring my guitar by and I'll just sing that song for you right here in the beauty shop. I did that one time in Florida at a place and whatever. You know, church ain't the only place to sing. So yesterday or day before yesterday, whatever it was, I carried an old acoustic guitar with me. And I told my wife, I said, let me know about 30 minutes before you get done. So she called me. And I walked in with that guitar. And if you've ever been in a beauty shop, man, it's pretty loud. Hair dryers, everybody talking at the same time. I just told folks, I said, folks, I can have just a moment of your time. I said, I'm going to try to compete with hair dryers and ladies that's got their head under hair dryers and all kind of stuff. But this woman right here is a dear friend of mine. She can't come to church. She loves this song. She's had problems. I'm going to sing this song for her. I sung, I Found the Lily in My Valley. All some of the other ladies stopped, started listening because everybody needs a lily. I said, everybody needs a lily. I said, everybody needs a lily. But the lady sitting in the chair next to my wife, she was talking above everybody to start with. When I got about halfway on the second verse of that song, she pointed to the lady, fixing her hair, and said, come down here. Looked at me like the pure devil. And I'm pretty well, I know what she said. I wish he would shut up. I wish he would hush. And that got me anointed. I don't sing good. But why would everybody else be listening in one? Sometimes your sarcasm sells what you're going through and what you're doing. I said, Tom, I'm that old ugly spirit you got. It's telling the pastor more than you think is telling him. It's not that you don't like Stroop or you don't like Ornsby. The bottom line is you've been hurt bad. You've been torn apart. And you get disgusted every time you hear something good because all you've had is something bad. She looked at that lady, and then she looked at another lady. And I know what she said. She said, I'll be glad when he stopped. I finished that song. I sung it. I said, for those of you that enjoyed this thing, thank you. And for those of you that endured it, I thank you for your time. But I said, Jesus will be your lily in your valley. And everybody hollered. I said, everybody, except the one lady. I said, except the one lady. But she didn't make me mad. Everybody ain't gonna like my singing. I know that. But I don't think it had nothing to do with my singing. I think it had to do with her life was so messed up. I could have took that guitar and, wow! She'd probably come up bouncing out of that chair. Because she's trying to find joy in all the wrong places. I said, trying to find joy in all the wrong places. Real joy comes through God. Let me read this and I'll close. I don't have time for none of that. Maybe one day Brother Stroop will let me come back. I don't know. Before the rapture takes place. If he don't, we'll finish it up somewhere else. Parents, your children is a gift from God. Your house is not. Your car is not. He provided the means for you to buy that house, to buy that car. But your gift is your family. If you've got a halfway decent family, I didn't say perfect because I don't believe there is one. I said, if you've got a halfway decent family, when I said that, you would have lifted your hands and said, thank you, God, for what is working right, for what is going right. It may not all be good. I may have a granddaughter that's on crystal meth right now. I may have a grandson that's doing the same thing. I may have a daughter and son that I raised up in the house of God, but she won't set her foot in a church. Think on this just a second. I'm going to say this fast. I've done a lot of thinking about that. Raise up a child the way it should go. When he gets old, it will not depart from it. I've done a lot of thinking about that. And the more I think about it, it don't actually mean what I thought it did. When it says raise up a child the way it should go, to most people, that means you either carried them to church or you dropped them off. And you did that on Sunday morning and maybe come back Sunday night. And a handful come back Wednesday night, and that's raising up your child the way it should go. Raising up a child in the way it should go is going to take some time.
Yes, it is.
Some of those nieces and nephews I told you about my wife weeping about, they spend a couple of nights with us pretty often. When it comes time for bedtime, my wife will always say, okay, honey's going to read now. And boy, when they say that, she says that, that old disgusted look gets on their face. Why? Because all day long they've been playing God knows what. I said, God knows what. And now honey's going to pray. Honey's going to read. Well, you ought not to force it on them. That's your opinion. If you've got any power over your child at all, when you tell them it's time to read the Bible, if you have to. If you have to call two or three of the men of the church to come and help you and hold him. Don't let him walk out. When you're praying, don't let him walk out when you're reading the Bible. Say, well, they won't be listening. Honey, it goes in. You don't know what they're hearing. The bottom line is, though, this taking children to church, that's why your children won't come to church. They went to church, all right, but they wasn't raised up in church. And that's why being raised up is being at home. You pray over them. At home, you read the Bible. At home, you act like Christian. At home, you talk like a child of God. It's not about Sunday morning. It's not about Sunday night. So one day, if you want to hear your child come to the Lord, then my God, mama, go to praying. Daddy, go to praying. praying. Mama, go to reading the Bible. It's not a sin to read the Bible at the front of your children. It's not an embarrassment to get the Bible out. I said it's not an embarrassment to get the Bible out. I said it's not an embarrassment. My duty, your duty as a parent, is to provide for your children, to nurture them, and to control them, and to love them, and to correct them, and to instruct them. Mom, Dad, I hope a train don't come by right now. Mom, Dad, the next time you get a good opportunity, I want you to look at that child you have. Look at him. I mean, I'm serious. Look at him. I don't mean look back through time. I mean look at him. And here it gets hard. This is what I've had to do too many times. I wish to God I never had to do it again. Because if you don't, one day you're going to be sitting by their casket saying, I raised them to go to church. Now it's up to them. Now it's up to them. I raised them to go to church. Folks, I've stood, spoke too many times. And I've had mothers, family members. Brother Stroop has done the same thing many times. Just try, come around to me. I don't care if they died drugged out of their mind. I don't care if they died so much alcohol in them until, my God, they couldn't have held another ounce. But that mama will come around and she will dig and she will dig and she will hunt and she will hunt till she'll find sometime, somewhere, one day, somewhere, that her son or daughter went to church. And somebody might even lie to them and tell them they went down and prayed. And that mother and that daddy and that family will come up to the preacher and say, preacher, if you can, just say something to give a little relief. Okay, mama, it's time to cry. Daddy, it's time to cry. It's good to go four-wheeling with them. It's good to go fishing with them. It's good to make all their ball games. That's great. But, Daddy, it's more important things than your son being the best ball player on the league. It's more important things than who can catch the biggest fish. It's more important things, honey, your child is going to spend eternity in hell somewhere or in heaven somewhere. I, for myself, hey, I want my child, I want my family to be together around the throne of God. How many of you desire the same thing? Get ready to play, pal. Get ready to play softly. How many of you just say, come on, come on, come on. You desire that your family, you desire that your family, your children, begin to play softly, pal. I remember an old preacher preaching at the youth camp, pastor. It wasn't a youth service band. We had you know, the things for all the preachers. I can't remember what you called it, but pastoral. Yeah, minister's retreat. And I remember a preacher preaching a sermon, and he called it Weeping at the Altars. Well, most of the time, we don't stay in the altar long enough to weep. And lot of churches don't have much of altar calls anymore anyway. Somehow we've just took it for granted that that person sitting beside us is saved. Young people, look at me. I want y'all to stare at whole thing. Y'all are a good-looking bunch of young people. Y'all good-looking. Oh, if you're 20 years old now and stand in this house, would you? If you don't mind. I'm not going to say anything to hurt you. I don't stand. If you're 20 years old down, come on, stand. I need a little help here. I need just a little bit of help here from somebody. If there's any family member here with this guy, what's his name? Not you, buddy. What's his name? George. Jordan? Jordan River? Jordan, I'm sure you're a Christian, but I want to see you in heaven, boy. I want to see you. I'm sorry I called too low of age and you couldn't stand. Do we have a family member with this guy? Call his name.
Roman?
It's a good name, Roman. I got a nephew named Roman. We're going to meet in heaven, ain't we, Roman?
Yes, sir.
Say that again.
Yes, sir.
I like that. Anybody here with this guy?
Yeah.
Family? Yes, sir. Noah? Noah? We're going to meet in heaven, ain't we, boy? Anybody claim this one? But you tell me his name, because I... Brad. You're not part of that bunch. Where are you, Brad? There will be a happy meeting in heaven, I know. There with all the holy angels and loved ones we've known. Anybody claim this one? Again.
That's my twin.
That's your twin, huh?
Bless you, sweetheart.
You know, I'm picking at you. Bottom line, I'm going to meet you in heaven, aren't I? That's all I wanted to hear. That's all I wanted to hear. Anybody claim this one? Got hands.
Sarah.
Gonna meet you in glory, aren't I? It's good enough for me. Anybody claim this one? Rebecca. Y'all got, some of you got Bible names. I like that. Gonna meet you in heaven, aren't I, Rebecca? You look like you mean that. 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 She just looks like she means it. See that? No. She said, I'll meet you by the river on the Bright River side. I'll meet you in the morning by the Bright River side. I don't have time to go to you others I wanted to. But if you've got a child, if you've got a grandchild, my God, that you know they're not acting right, you know they're not ready to meet God, I want you to get up off of your pew right now. And if they're with you, why don't you bring them down with you? I said, if they're with you, why don't you say, get up, let's go. They preach, I don't want to make them come. I said, why don't you say, come on, let's go. Come on down here. Because Jesus is about to appear. The trumpet is about to sound. We don't have no time left. I said, we don't have no time left. I said, we don't have no time left. Friend, the rest of you back there that don't have any family that's lost. I said, the rest of you don't have any children, grandchildren that are lost. I want you to come in behind these and support me as I pray for them.